The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead at two Tuesdays action on this edition, but it's not just any old Tuesday. It's the first day of the 2015 Cheltenham Festival. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the first of a fantastic 4 days at Prestbury Park is Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mark. And looking forward to the week ahead. And this is probably one of the best dates of the year to do a podcast, isn't it?
It is.
The racing doesn't get much better than what it is tomorrow.
It's magnificent, isn't it, the Tuesday of the Cheltenham Festival?
It's a bit good.
It's a bit good, yeah. That might be an understatement. But four grade ones on the card now, with the Mayor's Hurdle being upgraded. Some very good racing. Obviously, the Champion Hurdle is magnificent this year. We've got the Arkle on the card. And start with the Supreme and the William Hill Offer, where you cannot lose. So it's a fantastic start to the festival.
Like I said, it's a bit good, isn't it? It can't be bad. So
right,
it's going to be great. Really looking forward to it.
It is. Is there any race in particular this week that you absolutely can't wait to see?
Fox Hunters.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a big bet in it.
I shouldn't be surprised, should I?
I've had a big bet in it. Actually, I'm really looking forward to the Champion Hurdle tomorrow. The Champion Chase, I just don't know what's going to happen in that. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Gold Cup. All the big races, not so much the World Hurdle, I don't think, this year, particularly now with Rock on Ruby out as well. I think the race is just lacking, perhaps, what it has in previous seasons, which is a bit unfortunate. I think it's still going to be a very intriguing race, but I don't think we've got any Big Bucks or Ingalls Drivers to come out of it this time around. But the other three feature races, I think, are absolutely wonderful. They're going to provide a hell of a spectacle as well. And I think, in a way, we may get a few questions instead of answers this week as well. So we're looking for potential clues. We have been for ages, and just some of the races, they're proving a little bit inconclusive even at this stage. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they pan out. I think out of all of the feature races, tomorrow's is the one that I can pin my selection to the mast pretty firmly.
Right.
All the others, I haven't got a clue.
Fair enough. Well, keep the answer to yourself for a moment. We'll move on to that race in due course. We're going to go through all seven races on the first day, obviously focusing mainly on the big races, starting in the Supreme Novices Hurdle, which is a grade one over the extended 2 miles. And the going at the moment, good to soft, good in places. I don't think that'll change too much before tomorrow, or Tuesday rather. Duvan, 6-4 at the top of the market, 100-30 for Lamy Surge. Jolly Allen is 15-2, 12-1 for Shane's Hill, and 14 for QE. 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Now, I'm sure you're the same, Gareth. I've heard some pretty bold statements about Duvan so far. Obviously, Connections have a pretty good recent record in this race as well. 6-4 about him, if he's as good as they think, is that not a good bit of value?
Well, if he's as good as they think, and he performs as well as they're certainly hoping he will, then yeah, he's tremendous value. Whether he can, the problem I've got with Duvan, it's not so much a problem, it's just something that niggles in the back of my mind, is that all of this horse's experience so far is going to be very, very different to what he's going to be in and experiencing tomorrow. He's raced generally on testing ground in small fields. The fact that there are only, what is it, a dozen turning up in this, I think we've got the 12, that will probably work in his favour. And judging by what I've seen of this horse so far, he tends to do most of it on the bridle. Can't wait to see what he's like when he actually has to come off the bridle. We might well see that tomorrow if something with perhaps a little bit more experience or something that's perhaps a little more streetwise comes at him, puts the gun to his head, I think he'll go away. I think he is the most likely winner. And as you say, he's been a horse who's been issued with very bold statements all the way throughout the course of the last couple of weeks by Connections, who definitely know what they're talking about. They could have all the Grade 1 winners tomorrow. So I'm not willing to challenge that. And of course, they won the race back last year with Vertour. And I think Duvan is going to be a formidable opponent to his 11 rivals. But that's not to say the others, a couple of the others, won't have an experience edge over him, and they could well be good enough to rustle him up.
Mm. Because there's the offer on where if you have a losing selection, you get your money back as a free bet, would you be tempted to try something a little bit more speculative and try and take on Duvan in some way?
Yeah, in a way. I still think Willie Mullins might win this race potentially with a different horse, or he could well get the 1-2. The one I quite like at bigger prices is Shane's Hill, who, where I was going on a moment or so ago about experience, this horse does have experience of the Cheltenham Festival. He was second to Silver Concord in the bumper back last year. And as we see year in, year out, festival form does tend to repeat itself, and it does not hold you in good stead for the following season. Now, Shanes Hill, his jumping has possibly been a little bit suspect in his short hurdling career so far, but ultimately he has managed to complete the course and get the job done as well. He's a very classy horse at his best. He is probably going to be the second string, I'd say, here for the Willie Mullins yard. I think I'd have him ahead of Alvisio Ville, who I'm not too sure will be quick enough for this. I think wants a little bit further, judging on what I saw at Leopardstown anyway last time out. So I definitely think that with that past festival form, Shanes Hill, we know he comes up the hill. He does jump, and ultimately, with the same thing really with Duvan, we've just got the 12 of them. Who says they're going to go lickety-split in this? So maybe his jumping won't be put under such of a test as what may have been the case in previous years. Of course, we had 18 turning up in the race last year. So I definitely think it's a race where we can look for something at a slightly bigger price. As you say, it's a fantastic offer we've got on here, William Hill. And if Duvan wins, all well and good. But if he doesn't, hey, move on to the next race. You're not going to be down, are you? So.
No. No loose start to the festival, no matter what. Okay, so Willie Mullins has been well touted. He might have a good day. You think he might have a brilliant start with a 1-2 perhaps in the first? So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those days the bookies either get a complete and utter thrashing or vice versa, really, because they're responsible, obviously, for all of the hot favourites in the grade ones. Can they all win? I'm not sure.
No, well, it's unlikely that they all win, isn't it? But he's got such a
on the first day,
chance.
On the first day, yeah. But these are grade one races. They're not one horse races.
Yeah.
They never are.
No. Okay, the second race on the Tuesday is the 2:05. This is the Racing Post Arkell Challenge Trophy Chase. It's a grade one over 2 miles for the novices, and Underso is 4-7 at the top of the market. 5-1 for Vibrato Valtat, 11-1 for Jossie's Hill, 12 for Clarkham, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Another shorty, another Willie Mullins favourite. Does Underso follow suit and win the second race?
Right, if he jumps,
yeah,
he wins. As far as I'm concerned, he's got the best form, seemingly. He's the horse that excites everybody this season, possibly more than any other, over fences. And he's been absolutely breathtaking so far in what he's done over fences. Yes, he tipped up at Thurles on his chasing debut. But, I mean, we didn't really get to see what happened in that fall as such, but I think Ruby Walsh came out of the race afterwards and said it wasn't that he made a terrible mistake. It was just a fact he didn't get the landing gear out. And down he went. But since then, particularly at Leopardstown last time, he was scintillating, but he did only have a couple of rivals. Again, there are horses in this race coming into the contest that have got the past festival form, which I think counts as a huge plus for them. And Underso, this is going to give him the fright of his life, I think. He's going to go off, likely he'll go off in front. Those first four fences come up pretty quickly, the four up the home straight. The first fence comes to them very quickly after the start. It can't be any more than about 50 yards. So I think the critical thing with Underso is that he gets into this rhythm, which has seen him prove so effective in his last couple of races, albeit in much smaller fields, but from a very, very early stage. Because if he clouts the first one, or if he clouts an early fence, he's then got the whole line going down the back straight, including a variety of fences. We've got the water jump followed by two tricky open ditches, particularly on the old course, that open ditch right at the top of the hill. That really does take some jumping, and it's caught out some good horses in the past. Moscow Flyer unseated his rider there a few years ago. So this, as far as a jumping test is concerned, I think this is going to be something that Underso steps into sort of unknown territory with. And you're taking a very short price about whether or not he can cope with that. For me, it wouldn't be for me. I don't back odds on in a novice's chase as a general rule, so I'm not going to start here, particularly a grade one that's got plenty of good horses in and around him, which might just have a bit of an experience edge on him when it comes to racing at the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, with Underso, I think his race will be won or lost in the first, like you say, four fences probably. If he gets over them and gets into a rhythm, I think he's okay.
I think, yeah, like you say, yeah. I think it's the early part of the race. Yeah. I think by the time they come past the stands and embark out onto the final circuit, you're going to know if you're onto a good thing if you've backed Underso, because the likelihood of it is he's going to be out in front, probably out of trouble, because we know how quick this horse can go off. I mean, they have got the hill to climb, of course, at the end as well, but so far he hasn't been stopping in his races. So I wouldn't really have any great reservations about that at the business end, but it is a good race, and there are good horses up against him.
So how do you play it? Do you take him on? Obviously, on the day, we'll have betting without the favourite, I imagine, so you could just take him out of the equation altogether.
Yeah, how many runners have we got altogether in this, just looking?
11.
11, so we've got three places to aim at.
Yeah.
And because the favourite has taken so much out of the market, we've got some good each way prices, really.
There's only two horses in single figures here. There's Undersort 4-7 and Vibrato Valtat 5s and 11-1 bar.
Well, I can give him a good chance for Vibrato Valtat, and at the likely prices, he's probably an each way to nothing because I think he's guaranteed to get around, and also he's going to have the race run to suit. Let's face it, you cast your mind back a few months, this was a horse who people were considering as a little bit of a monkey, one that didn't want to hit the front too soon because he generally didn't do much once he hit the front. But if he's produced at the latest possible moment by Sam Twist and Davis, and they've gone off at a million miles an hour, he could well be picking up some pieces here. And we know he gets up the Cheltenham Hill. He hasn't won around Cheltenham in the past, but he has got some good form around here, so I can give him a smashing chance here. The other one that I quite like is Clarkham, who I was nearly in tears after what happened in the Fred Winter back last year, because I think he'd have won that race. And I had a pretty sizable bet on him in that. He was coming through really strongly when he crashed out at the second last. And yes, if Undersow is on song and doesn't blot his copybook, then Clarkham probably hasn't got a chance in hell to live with him. But if something does happen, or even if it doesn't, I can see Clarkham definitely vying for a place position at best. He's impressed me with what he's done over fences so far. He's been racing up against some of the top Irish novices, and he's been holding his own as well. And generally, he's a good, honest horse who represents a really powerful yard in Gordon Elliott. Brian Cooper back on board. I think there are an awful lot of pluses for Clarkham. They'll be looking to perhaps just put what happened last year behind them, and they might well do so. So I definitely think that Clarkham is value. And I'll just give a quick mention to Joss's Hill. I was going on about horses with experience at the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, Joss's Hill is another. The problem I've got with Joss's Hill, as I think will be a similar problem for most people with this horse, is his jumping. For me, I've just got a fear that this horse spends a little bit too long in the air. He still looks a little bit untidy, little bit disorganised on the approach to his fences. He's weighing up in his head, it almost seems, as how am I going to get from A to B here? And he takes ages to get from takeoff to land. And if he does that here in a race which is almost certainly going to be run at a real championship pace, I just think he's going to get outpaced. He'll probably be staying on again at the end. I don't actually think he'll fall, this horse. I mean, let's face it, he hasn't fallen over fences so far, but his jumping hasn't been polished. But as I said, he's got the past festival form, so he can hold his own at championship pace. It's just whether he can over fences. I'm not too sure he can so far. We've been seeing him in small fields, and he has been beaten in lesser company. So for me, I would be opposing. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if he was able to run on into a place, because he has got a bit of back class there. But for me, I think that Clarkham and Vibrato Valtat are definitely the biggest dangers to Undersow, and they'll be the two to fight it out for me if Undersow does something daft.
Okay, couple of options there then in the Arkle. Moving on to the 240 next, and this one is the Ultima Business Solutions Handicap Chase. It's a Grade 3 over 3 miles and 1 furlong. The betting is headed by Pendra, who's 7-1 into sixes at the time of recording this. 7-1 for the Druid's Nephew and Ned Stark. 12-1 for Gevry Chambaton. Barrakilla has been back from 16s into 12s. There's also been a bit of money for Gallant Oscar, who's 14s into 12s. It's 14s for Mendip Express. 16s for Black Thunder and Theatre Guide, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Just looking at a few the others that have been trimmed this morning as well. Cape Tribulation, 33s into 20s, and Grand Gesture is 25-1 into 20-1. So a few market moves already this morning, Gareth. It's an open handicap though, isn't it? So what would you side with there?
Yeah, wide open race. On a couple of Cheltenham panels earlier on in the, well, back last week now, I did hear a couple of quite positive vibes for this Cape Tribulation, so I think that's interesting that he's been backed. I saw Ned Stark when he won last time out at Wetherby. He was calling that day when he landed the Grade 2 novices, and he jumped really well on that occasion, and he battled when the horse of Tom Simmons came to him. He went again. He really had to pull it out, and he did, and I think that'll stand him in tremendous stead for tomorrow's race. So I think he's got a great chance. He's unexposed as a chaser as well. The danger, I think, could be the horse who's got the course and distance form around here, Mendip Express, who I quite fancied for a tilt at the Grand National. I don't think he's going there now. He's coming here instead. He's a horse who, as I said, has won around Cheltenham in the past. He's got the champion point-to-point rider, Will Biddick, on board. Will, who's basically professional standard. He's a very, very good rider, has plenty of winners, gets on really well with Mendip Express as well. And he ran a pretty decent race at Bangor last time out. I know he was beaten on that occasion over hurdles, but it would have put him spot on for this. And the horse that beat him is actually fancy to run well at this meeting later on in the week in a hurdle race. So I can definitely see Mendip Express shaping well in this over a course and distance, which we know he handles. And the hustle and bustle that this race is likely to provide shouldn't really hold any fears for Mendip Express, because he was second in the Beecher. So for me, I think he is almost guaranteed to get around. and Harry Fry could possibly do with a little change of luck after the Rock on Ruby news broke out yesterday. So, yeah, I think Mendip Express is very solid, and Ned Stark, I think, will be there or thereabouts. But if something at a huge price come and peg both of them off at the end, it certainly wouldn't surprise me, because that's the nature of this race.
Wide open. So a couple against field there, each way angles in. Let's move on to the big race of the afternoon, the champion hurdle. Forheen is 11-10 at the top of the market, 3-1 for the new one, 9-2 for last year's winner Jeski, 8-1 for Hurricane Fly, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Forheen, the machine, does he add the champion hurdle to his unbeaten tally so far?
Yeah, I think so. He's been brilliant, hasn't he? Hasn't beaten much. Maybe that's a little bit unfair to say. The horse that he beat last time has since come out and won a good race. And it's just the way that he's been doing it. I think it's been taking everybody's breath away. He seems to be so extravagant, so flashy, and it's just the motor that this horse has got in him for the end of a race. And again, he comes into the race with the past festival experience, so I don't see the whole occasion getting to him. He remains unbeaten. Ruby Walsh has plumped for this one instead of Hurricane Fly, and I mean, I'm not a jockey. Could be a flat jockey, but I'm not a jockey. But I think that's a big decision for any sort of jockey to make. And I know that Ruby Walsh has come out and said, I think he's the one who's going to win, so therefore I'm riding him. That's absolutely fine. But to get off a dual champion hurdler, and not just a dual champion hurdler in Hurricane Fly, but a horse who's won 20-odd grade ones in his native island as well, that's a really, I'd say, big decision. So I think the fact that Ruby is more than happy to go for the younger horse, I think that speaks volumes. So Fahin, I think, will take the world of beating in the champion hurdle tomorrow. And out of the first three favourites that Willie Mullins provides, Duvan, Undersow, and this one, this is the one that I've had a good bet on. I really do fancy Fahin tomorrow. I think there are slight weaknesses in a few of his opposition, which is why I think the new one comes into the race on the back of what, I don't care what anybody says, it wasn't an ideal prep race last time. He had to really work for that win at Haydock. Yes, it was in sloppy ground, but I always remember Sam Twist and Davis's face coming back into that. I think it just shook him up a little bit. I think they were expecting a bit more, and for him to win that race a shade easily. And of course, he did jump a little bit out to the right on that occasion, which, again, if he does here in what is a much stronger race than the Haydock one, I know it's going to be run on much better ground, which will suit the new one, but I don't know. When he came out of that race, there were alarm bells ringing for me that this horse maybe isn't right, or I know nothing has really come of that, but if something like that happens again, and I think as well tomorrow this horse is likely to be back, there'll be, particularly if we have the first couple of favourites go in, the bookies are really going to be looking to get this Fahin beaten, and they may be offering some quite good prices about the likes of the new one, you know, stern opposition for Fahin. And a lot of people may be looking at the fact that he looked a bit unlucky last year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Do you feel he was unlucky? Do you think he'd have won without the trouble last year?
I don't think he'd have won. I think he'd have got close. Yeah. I think he would have got close. Obviously, with the tragic fall of our Connor, that knocked him back a very long way. But then he did it. Let's face it, that was at, what, the third flight? Yes, he lost a lot of ground, but he had enough time to get himself sort of back into real contention, and he was unable to do it. Maybe I'm being a little bit unfair, but when they were coming down the hill again, he hit a bit of a flat spot for me. This is a slight issue I've got as well with the Hurricane tomorrow, because at Leopardstown last time he seemed to hit a bit of a flat spot in his race. I know he won it, but if that happens tomorrow, I just think on this quicker ground the younger legs of some others may just be a little bit too much for him to catch up on. And again, I've just never overly been taken by the new one. I know he's got a tremendous record. He looked unlucky last year. He's going to have an awful lot of supporters tomorrow in against Fahin. But out of the two, Fahin and the new one, it's Fahin who's really taken my breath away this season. And I expect him to really improve and go through the ranks all the way. So I'm taking the seven-year-old Fahin to remain unbeaten for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Got to give a mention quickly to Jeski as well. Of course, he's the reigning champ. I definitely think he'll be there or thereabouts come into the last. I
think he's a good each-way bet to not
At the prices, And I wouldn't rule out again. But Arctic Fire, he's been getting closer and closer to Hurricane Fly and Jeski. He's that bit younger as well, and it's going to be a cracking ride in the race, I think, for Danny Mullins. I can see this horse finishing well up the hill. So, again, it wouldn't surprise me if Willie Mullins had a 1-2, and maybe it was Fahin over Arctic Fire as opposed to Fahin over Hurricane Fly. So I really think Willie Mullins does hold the key to this. I think it could be an Irish 1-2-3. And I'll take Fahin to be the best of them. He's just so exciting at the moment.
He is. He's magnificent to watch, isn't he? Just fantastic.
And even when he wasn't impressive earlier on in the season down at Ascot, that jump that when Ruby gave him a kick in the belly at the last, like, come on, boy, let's do this. The jump that he produced at the end of that race, which wasn't running great ground, I think it takes a real class horse to do that. I said something similar about Sayed Agrugi last year in his run-up to the Champion Chase. He did something similar one day, and I just think it is the sign of a real class horse, and this Fahina's got class and excitement written all over him.
Okay, Fahina to win the Champion Hurdle then. The 4 o'clock is the next race we're going to look at. This is the Mayor's Hurdle, which was the David Nicholson Mayor's Hurdle. It's now a Grade 1 contest. It's over 2.5 miles. And another William Mullins favourite, Annie Power, 8-13. Glenn's Melody's also got the second favourite at 9-2. 9-1 for Polly Peacham, 16 to Carol Spirit and Lunique, and 20s or bigger prices for the others. I thought this... I might be making this a little bit too simple in a way, but if Annie Power jumps around, she wins. And if Glenn's Melody reproduces a performance behind Quivega last year, she's probably in the mix-up as well for me.
Yeah, I think it's a Willie Mullins one, too. There are 16 runners, but it could be that simple. I think sometimes you can overcomplicate it, particularly with Cheltenham. You hear a lot of views, and you can go into the first day absolutely mind-boggled. I know I will be this time tomorrow, still not knowing what's going to happen. Probably won't be fully on top of my selections. But I think with this one, yeah, it's a case of if Annie Power gets around, she should win. Let's face it, with Quivega, who's won this race for, what, the last 6 years for the same stable, for the same team, she's come into this race fresh on the back of those successes pretty much every time. And although Annie Power hasn't run for 311 days, I don't see fitness being a massive problem for her. If for some reason she disappoints, bombs out, whatever, I don't think she will, but if she does, then I still think Willie Mullins wins it with Glenn's Melody, because for me, she's the second best mare in this race. Simple as. And she chased Quivega home, was beaten, what, about a length or so last year?
Yeah, not far, yeah.
She's very, very solid. She had a brilliant prep race at Warwick 31 days ago. That would have put a spot on. Paul Townend comes in for another very exciting ride. So, yeah, Annie Power, I think, wins. And if she doesn't win, I still think Willie Mullins wins with Glenn's Melody. Of the remainder, just throw one in at a slightly bigger price. Emily Gray, I think, could be interesting mildly for Kim Bailey's team. She's likely to go off at a very, very big price. But back in early January, she ran in a listed race over fences at Doncaster and was about 50 lengths off the winner at the fourth last. I think got beat her nose in the end. Absolutely charged home. Beaten by a good horse that day, a mare of Harry Fry's called Highland Retreat. And I just think if they go a really strong gallop in this race, there'll be few staying on. If she's able to repeat that sort of effort, there'll be few staying on stronger up the hill than her. So I'll give her a chance at what's likely to be a really, really big price. But Annie Power and Glenn's Melody are the best two mares in the race for me by some way, and I think they'll fight it out.
Yeah, 25-1 for Emily Gray, and she's got about 7 lengths to make up on Glenn's Melody from the running at Warwick last time.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's about right, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, penultimate race on day one is the 4:40, and this is the Toby Balding National Hunt Chase, which is listed race for amateur riders, and obviously chase over 4 miles, and... betting headed by Very Wood, who's 100-30, Seagull Success 92, 7-1 for the Job Is Right, Cause of Causes 8, 12 for Kogri and Doing Fine, 14-1 for Perfect Gentleman and Vivaldi Collonge, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you fancy for the 4-miler?
Well, I think it was interesting that Connections of the Job Is Right entered him up in the Ida. That clearly proves that they think the horse has got the stamina for this sort of test. And last time out, he was going to be second to Jackadam, who's a strong contender for Friday's Gold Cup. That was in the big race at Goran Park. He crashed out at the final fence that day, and I thought was really unlucky because it was his only mistake of the whole race. I napped him that day. And I was quite gutted that he came down and had a good each way on him. I think he might be able. He ran fifth some 23 days ago. That was, I think, just to put a bit of a confidence thing back onto him. I think he'll have the confidence now going into this, and I just thought it was an interesting piece of placing to actually enter this horse up for the Ida last time. He didn't run there, but I think he'll get 4 miles no problem. I'm going to take a chance here, as I've done the last three occasions, all to my expense. A mare right down at the bottom called Theatre Queen, who was a top-notch hunter back at last season, top-notch pointer. She has got winning form around here at Cheltenham as well, which shouldn't be forgotten. But she has, in her 3 runs to date this season, planted herself at the start, and it's becoming quite a severe issue now. She refused outright at Taunton. She was then second at Ludlow when she didn't lose as much ground, but she still had to think about it. And then, if you cast your mind back 10 days ago at Doncaster, she did exactly the same thing in the Grimthorpe Chase, lost at 30 lengths. Now, my understanding is, having been speaking well with Mark Waller and hearing certain things as well. Mark rides and trains the horse. The reason he kept her going at Doncaster the other week was because he thought if he gave up on her, she'd think she can get away with it all the time. So he thought, in a way, not punish her as such, but show her that she can't get away with it. She has to come into the race. That's her job. And ultimately, she finished fourth. Now, she lost about 30 lengths at the start that day. I think she was beaten about half of that. Now, I know you can't really take that literally, but Mark most definitely believed she would have been bang there at the finish. And so do I, judging by the way she was finishing faster than anything in that Doncaster race. I think she'll get 4 miles. She gets 3.5. She proved that at Stratford last year. As I said, she's got the course form. And it's the Cheltenham Festival. It's a big occasion, and it might just get her in the mood. It could work completely the other way, and she might hate it and think, no way, not doing this. And she might plant herself. But I know for a fact that Mark will do everything he can to get her away from that starting line. And if he does, she most certainly will be in the mix, having gone a mile or so. That was proved at Doncaster the other week, and she's got just that bit further to go this time. And I think she'll be staying on at the end of the race. So it is a real chancy, a risky one, but I think the risk of backing Theatre Queen is almost factored into her price. If she jumps off on terms, she should be nowhere near that price because this is a class mare. So I'm going to take an each way, possibly foolishly, but she owes me 1, 2, 3. But I think the solid one for definitely getting into the frame is the job is right in a race where it might just pay to side with something at a bigger price. It's very, very competitive, huge field, amateur riders, marathon trip, anything can happen.
Interesting stuff. The job is right. It's 7-1, and it's 33-1 for Theatre Queen. So yeah, interesting thoughts in the.
She has won around Cheltenham before. That's not something that all these horses have done. So at least we know that she can jump around there.
The final race is the 5:15. We finish here with the Chaps Restaurants Barbados Novices Handicap Chase, a listed race over 2.5 miles, and wide open this one. 7-1 joint favourite, in the Lucky Last, Generous Ransom and Thomas Crapper, both sevens. Tens for Bold Henry. Keltis is 11-1. 12 for Little John. Leapdurg is 14-1 with Dromnir and Stellan Ocean, and Horizontal Speed and Irish Cavalier. And Cocktails at Dawn, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's quite an open finish to the card, Gareth. What would you say with the Lucky Last?
Yeah, I think if you've backed all the Willie Mullins hot pots and they've all got stuffed, which is unlikely, but don't go maximum stakes in this final race. Don't use this as a getting out stakes. There's plenty more options later on in the week because this looks an absolute nightmare, I thought. The one that I quite liked, I thought Generous Ransom is pretty solid for Nick Gifford. He won well here over the New Year period or at the last meeting that they had. He's got the excellent Daryl Jacob on board, and he just seems to be coming to himself at the age of 7. He's won 2 of his last 3, I think. And what he did prove here last time is that he can handle this kind of race, the hustle and bustle of it, the strong pace, the fences, he can handle it all. So I think he's really, really solid here, Generous Ransom. There was one I quite liked at bigger prices. He will be a huge price as well, I'm guessing, here. Rum and Butter.
Let's have a look. 33-1.
Yeah, he's got no recent form, really, to shout about, but he hasn't been seen out for 109 days, so John O'Neill has clearly been quite keen to just freshen him up. They're putting him back in this. He was a horse that I called home at Stratford back last year, I think actually on the same night as what Theatre Queen won her big race, and I think he's a really talented horse, this. He's got a few quirks, but I think he's got a bit of class as well, and I just think that if he's in the mood on this comeback, he's been freshened up, I think he's going to give Richie McLernan a pretty good spin. And it's that sort of race, again, where I'm just looking for things at slightly bigger prices. So I thought Rum and Butter might be able to outrun his odds. There was clearly something amiss and why he's been off for 109 days throughout the course of the peak season. And let's face it, when he was winning back at Stratford, it was around May time. So he might just be a horse that comes better with a bit of sunshine on his back. So it might just be the right sort of time to catch him. So I thought I'd throw him into the mix at a big price, but it's a nightmare of a race to try and solve, particularly if you had a bad day.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Right, we'll leave it there. One best bet for the day, is it Faheen in the champion?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be Faheen in the champion hurdle. And it will be Faheen. I think of the others, I do like the chances of the Job is Right and Theatre Queen in the 4 miler and Clarkham in the Arkle. But yeah, Faheen is my idea of banker material on day one. If he loses tomorrow, I'll be taking it slightly easier for the rest of the week. That gives you an idea of the sort of bet that I've had. So
right.
I do really fancy this Faheen tomorrow. I think he is the machine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Faheen. I think on raw ability, he should win.
Who's going to make the running tour, do you reckon? Do you reckon he'll make it?
Maybe, either.
There's only eight runners, so there's hardly any pace on Bertie Mon, possibly. Yeah. But I think he's going to be prominent, and it might just be, I was thinking, a case. I saw an interview on the weekend, and Ruby was asked what the tactic's likely to be, and he wasn't that willing to say, and I just think it may be something bold like, come and catch me if you can, if you think you're good enough.
I've seen Ruby do that at the festival a couple of times, haven't we, to good effect. I still think Jeskie's a great each way bet in the race as well.
Yeah, I do, I think he'll definitely be in the frame. Mm. I think it'll be an Irish 1-2-3.
Mm. Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Gareth. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday. There you go, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on the opening day of this year's Cheltenham Festival. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. We've got a good hour of build-up before the festival gets underway. We've also got Sedgefield and Southwell and evening racing from Wolverhampton. Dave Kellner, John Budden and Mick Norton will be the team in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. A real magnificent Tuesday in prospect. And thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. Enjoy day one of the Cheltenham Festival.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.